So I'd like to continue looking at the Lord's Prayer with you. And just let me see. What do we have? 10 minutes. Just try to look at this section of the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's found in both Matthew, the longer version, is in Matthew, where we have the familiar words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in Luke, it only asks this, thy kingdom come. That's it. Of course, behind it all is the rest of Matthew's petition. David Brooks, I don't know if any of you watch PBS's NewsHour, but David Brooks is always has been for years now a commentator on the NewsHour's Friday wrap-up of the week. And he wrote, he's a commentator for the New York Times, relatively, believe it or not, conservative. And he wrote an article back in 2019, October, no, it was 2022, in October of just last year, called The Rising Tide of Sadness. Now, there's an inspiring word for you, isn't it? But listen to why he says this. He made a remark about Taylor Swift, which I found interesting. Any Swifties out there? You know, I quit being a Swiftie when she moved from country. So that's a long time ago. But at any rate, she's got a beautiful voice. I got to give her that. And I kind of got into her because I used to serve in Reading, and she grew up right there in Wyomissing, I think it was. So I found that was interesting, sort of hometown girl made good thing. But Brooks remarks that in the beginning she was quite romantic when she burst on the scene in 2006. She sang about the ecstasies of young love and the heartbreak also that goes along with young love. And, you know, for those of us who are older, I bet you we can think back and remember some of that. And if you're younger, it might be more current with you. At any rate, so he goes on to say her mood was hardened as her star has risen. Now, I know this isn't her last, most recent album, but she had an album called Midnights. And it was, I believe, 2022 or 21. She's begun now, this next album she has out is a sort of recap of all her hits because she's trying to get the copyright back for herself. Apparently, she's just making pennies on, which I'm really crying for, making pennies on her songs compared to what she's earning in this tour that she's currently on. But at any rate, this is what Brooks remarks about it. She said that she plays here at Midnights, the album Midnights, a string of negative emotions, anxiety, restlessness, exhaustion, and occasionally anger. It turns out Swift, now think about this, is part of a larger movement in our music. Someone has researched back to 1965 and looked at 150,000 pop songs from 65 to 2015. What an exhausting task that must have been. However, this is what they found. that the appearance of the word love in the top 100 songs over this period has roughly halved, cut in half. Meanwhile, the number of times such songs in the top 100 that have negative emotion words, like hate or anger, has just risen sharply. Like if you drew a graph of it, it would be beyond the 45 degree. So pop music, however, isn't the only thing that's gotten a lot harsher. Some researchers have analyzed 23 million headlines between 2000 and 2019. Now, that's before the disaster of 2020. So think about this. From 2000 to 2019, of these 23 million headlines, the headlines have grown significantly more negative, with a greater and greater proportion of headlines about anger, fear, disgust, sadness, you know, and on the list could go. If misery levels keep rising, Brooks said, what can we expect in the future? Now, he wrote this in 2022, so it is after what happened in 2020. He said that the Global Peace Index, which measures civic discontent, riots, strikes, anti-government demonstrations, sound familiar? Increased by 244%. And that does not include 2020. That's only up to 2019. We live in a world, Brooks observes, of widening emotional inequality. The emotional health of the world is shattering. That's his take. The emotional health of the world is shattering. Jesus' most common theme, however, listen to this, is the kingdom of God. How many of his parables, think about this, are about the kingdom of God? In Matthew chapter 13, which we heard the parable of the sower from, wow, there's more also in Luke and Mark. John doesn't tell any parables. It's mostly Jesus' dialogues that are found in Mark. But in the Gospel of Luke, there are 24 parables, 18 of which are unique only to Luke. Matthew has 23 parables, just one behind, 11 of which are unique. The Gospel of Mark, probably the earliest of the Gospels, has 8, two of which are unique. You know, now, parables are simply stories with a point, right? Stories with a point. Someone, I thought, really, I really liked this, and it's always hung on to me. Someone compared it to jokes. Jokes always have what? A punchline, right? A punchline. And parables are very, very similar. Some of them you can read and find, like the story about the sower, which has four different types of soil. Some one-to-one correspondences that are in, so they're like allegories almost, or certainly analogical. But some of them are just simply stories with a string that comes to the punchline at the end. You know, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew records this in chapter 13, is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and, you know, it grew and grew and came to be, even though it's the smallest of seeds, this giant tree that will hold birds' nests. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour and worked it in through all the dough until the dough became completely leavened. I like to make sourdough bread. In fact, I made a batch last week and set Alexa to be my timer. And by the time I got the air conditioner on now, and I finally thought, man, this is taking a long time. And I went back and asked Alexa, how much time is left on my timer? She said, now it's been 15 minutes that it's been going on. I'm still eating that bread. I don't care what happens, I'm eating that bread. But it's remarkable because I think about this woman with 60 pounds of flour. My recipe calls for a cup of starter, 5 cups eventually. You work the whole 5 cups into of flour. Let me see. It's a cup and a half of water, and then a little bit of salt, sugar, baking soda. And that's it. Well, here you have a woman who's working up 60 pounds of this stuff to make. And that's how the kingdom of God is. It can start out, you know, I'm always amazed that that one cup will make the amount of bread that I get out of 5 cups of flour. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which somebody found and they reburied it and went out and bought the field so they could have that treasure. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a merchant who discovered a pearl of great price, and was so struck by its beauty that he bought it, sold all that he had so he could buy this pearl of great price, great beauty. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And when we pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, this is the kind of beauty that we're praying to come into this world of hurt and sin, to resolve . When we pray, we're asking that, remember how the prayer begins, our Father, the Father God who created us and created all that is, seen and unseen, as the Creed says. Think about that. The wonder of the Creator being our Father. So concerned with us, he is. And we're asking that his kingdom, and you know, kingdom is not a matter of geography in the Bible, in this prayer. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter, what Jesus is saying is, let the reign of God, not geographically, but in each one of us who prays that prayer, reign in our hearts so that the world, so that we, beginning with me who prays it, all of us who pray it, might be changed. And as a result, so that then the world might be changed. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Brooks observed, we live in a world of widening emotional inequality. The emotional health of the world is shattering. Then the crashing truth of this prayer comes in, doesn't it? The only hope for our sad, harsh, and divided world is Jesus. The Prince of Peace, as Isaiah foresees him. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Thy kingdom come, we pray. Thy will be done, this Prince of Peace. Let you reign, not me. I've made a mess. I hand the reins of your reign over to you. N.T. Wright, one of the great biblical scholars of our age, says that to pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, means seeing the world as if through a binocular vision. And you know how you can look through a binocular and it might be double vision or at least out of focus altogether? When we pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, we're bringing that binocular of our lives and of the world as a result of how God changes our life into focus. We're asking our Father, whose name is holy, hallowed be thy name. We're asking him to bring that out of focusedness into focus. See, Wright says, with the love of the Creator who is our Father, see his spectacularly beautiful creation and see it with the deep grief of the Creator for the battered and battle-scarred state in which the world now finds itself. We are joining then in a prayer that God has put the out-of-focus binoculars into focus. That the love and grief join together into the Jesus shape, the kingdom shape, the shape of the cross. As an old penitential hymn, when we sing it right before Easter, goes, never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine, because he's born our griefs and our sorrows and our sin. This is the risky, crazy prayer of submission and of commission, isn't it? We submit ourselves to God's rule in our lives. And because God changes then our lives, because of that reign, we're commissioned to do the Vacation Bible School, where we had, what, over 100 people, many of whom have never been here. I talked with a young father who didn't even know that the Lord's Prayer is found in the Bible for an hour. You know, what a great opportunity. What a great opportunity it was to speak with these children who may not even hear the gospel. I can remember when I was a child going to the Lutheran church on my bicycle down the street from me to the Vacation Bible School. These little things, they build and build and build. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, O Father, on earth as it is in heaven. It's almost like the way we sign on the bottom line to what God is doing in our world. Father, we thank you that your kingdom in heaven, yes, it's perfect. It's a place we yearn to see. But now in this world, you've commissioned us because of our submission to you to go into all the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ and to teach, to baptize, to bring into fellowship with all the saints of glory the work that you've done on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.